You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Seattle Police Department is dismantling that independent republic in the center of the city, and they look like something out of a futuristic movie. Yeah, they're all geared up in black, and they've got like knee pads and shin guards and elbow pads, and they've got like kind of like bike helmets with face masks on. Pretty intimidating, man. They look like RoboCop something. And so far, and again, in all seriousness, wish them all the best of luck, that there's no booby traps or there's nothing left behind that injures anybody. So, in all seriousness, good luck to the Seattle Police Department right now. And and all the other city workers that are dismantling that nonsense in Seattle. Interestingly enough, it comes days after the mayor of Seattle's home was threatened. Yeah. A city council person who's been instrumental in, I think she led the protest into City Hall a couple weeks ago. And took protesters to the mayor's home. Evidently, the mayor was not in it, but oddly enough, that it was when it was just citizens being downtown who had their freedom supposedly guaranteed by people elected by them who swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution and the laws of the state of Washington, the city of Seattle, and the United States of America, when it was just you that was getting your shit trampled on. It was, you know, it was a commune. It was something cool in Seattle. But oddly enough, when it got close to her, the shit ended. Now, maybe that's a coincidence, and maybe I'm too cynical about shit like that. But yeah, that's going on this morning. Actually, there's a whole bunch of news going on this morning in Hong Kong. Hong Kong essentially is no more. You know, at once was a British in British possession by treaty with China, was supposed to have this hybrid status for 50 years. China has now asserted itself and has begun evidently arresting people in Hong Kong. Now, I'll tell you this, just because China is asserting their strength there doesn't mean this is over. In response to that this morning, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, said he would grant political asylum to citizens of Hong Kong. So this is, again, China continues to, to attempt to reshape the world in its fashion. And at risk is people's economic relationships with the Chinese. So we'll see what happens. Secretary of State has already been on television today condemning the Chinese for what they've done. And so we'll see where it goes. But the Chinese, the demonstrations in Hong Kong have been pretty innovative in terms of the way they got around the security apparatus in Hong Kong. Dare I say that that is probably not the same as it was today as it was then. So we'll see how they evolve that. And those protests were huge. And we'll see what happens next. So Hong Kong in the news, along with Seattle. And the 4th of July weekend coming up. Today you'll hear Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney, Will Cosentini, because there will be no show on Friday. So today's actually Thursday in show life. So we recorded last night, and I think you'll enjoy it. Jeff Kenney actually texted us last night after we did it. One of our best podcasts, by the way. Ooh, how about that? Yeah, from a difficult grader, or I don't know, maybe it's just late at night. The here are the things we'll talk about in the second hour. Number one, Bountygate. Both Tim and Jeff had not. Will and I talked about it on Monday. Tim and Jeff had not, so you'll hear us talk about that. Today marks day one of the Battle of Gettysburg, right? Lo, 157 years ago. And I laugh because in the next hour, you'll hear me screw the math up on that. And you'll hear a little bit of contention between myself and Will Cosentini, who always seems to get his calculator out, right, and double-check my math. Yeah, so you'll hear that. So I'm only about 100 years off. I was focusing on the last two digits, and I actually think I misspoke. But anyway, and not that they would allow me to slide on that, which they certainly didn't. Well, at least Will didn't. I don't know that Tim or Jeff were paying attention to my math. But anyway, so you'll hear that. We also talk about, we talk about both the campaign of Gettysburg, things that we find interesting about it, and the battle itself. So you'll hear that. And that's an interesting discussion. And then we talk about the internet and cell phones have created this Orwellian nature. And what are your thoughts about that? Because, I mean, before everybody had a computer in their hand walking around, there's no way, you know, any government, state, local, federal, could communicate with its citizens and attempt to control their behavior as they live their lives in the micro part of their life. Couldn't do it. You could never disseminate the detailed instructions to the masses of the population. So this animal farm-like existence that we're living these days, right? This 1984 thing where Big Brother, right, believes that they can, you know, I mean, again, they've sent everybody home. Never, ever has happened in our history. Why? Because we could have never done it. Right? You could not, how would you disseminate that? Through the mail? Print it up and send it through the mail? Would you broadcast it on the radio? Would you put it in the newspapers? Well, what percentage of people see that? I mean, I don't know. Still be a huge number of Americans that did not see it. So it could have never been done. So we talk about the things that, just thoughts about the Orwellian nation that we're now a part of. And it's, you know, and it comes to mind every time I see Dr. Fauci talking about what the country should have done. And it's like he believes that that where we are is where we are as public health officials believe they have like the nation on a joystick. And that we almost like we don't have rights in this country. And so, you know, and then the comeback to that will be, well, you know, I'm just expressing my opinion as a public health professional. You see polls that say when a coronavirus vaccine becomes available, 25% of the country or those polled said they would not get it. So, I mean, I think in the United States of America that has a constitution that says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's their right, right? Or do they not have that right? So, so we talk about that in the second hour as well. And you will find it interesting. Those guys are always interesting, but maybe Jeff was right, maybe more so. And the Gettysburg thing, I always enjoy because I'm a fan of the battle. But there's, I think, three questions that we talk about. One is, something that surprised you. Give us something that you find significant about the campaign. And the campaign runs from the winter encampment to Lee's march up to he hops in the Shenandoah, has a cavalry review at Brandy Station, and heads north to transfer the war north and heads up into Pennsylvania. So the campaign, you know, is weeks long. So we talk about that. And then the next thing is, what about the battle breaks squelch for you, fascinates you? And then I think the third question is, and there might be a fourth one if I recall. The third question is something about the battle, something little known that you think is either little understood or little known but had a huge impact. And so we talk about that as well. So, yeah, that was fun. I want to read you, I don't know if you saw a picture the other day, but there was a soccer game, a women's soccer game. In the National Women's Soccer League, there's a player named Rachel Hill. So the picture is of players when the national anthem is being played, and she did not, right? She did not kneel down. So I remember seeing the picture, and I thought, "Oh shit, here we go! Now we're gonna have, you know." Now we're going to have this discussion, okay? And so let me describe the picture. So in the picture, you have members of her soccer team, and they're all wearing shirts that say Black Lives Matter. They're the Chicago Red Stars, okay? You have, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 girls in the picture. Going from left to right is a player on her knee, on one knee, with her hand over her heart. In the center, there's a black athlete and a white athlete. They're both kind of on both knees with their arms around each other. And then to the right of that is Rachel Hill. She's standing up, her hand over her heart, with her other hand on the black player who's kneeling, and it looks like she's crying. And then to the right of Rachel Hill is another player with her hand over her heart. Okay, now, is that good enough? Now, for those of us who've buried friends, who've had the honor to hand a flag, to have the honor and the misfortune of having to hand a flag to somebody and say the words that are said when somebody gives their life for our country. On behalf of the President of the United States, Commandant of the Marine Corps, and a grateful nation, please accept this flag as a token of those words, those solemn words, with which you present a flag to a grieving family in recognition for somebody who's fallen for their service. The view over that flag is different. Is that something to be ridiculed and backhanded? So that's a discussion that we're gonna have again in this country. All right. So let me read you what she wrote. Because she's taken, as you might imagine, a ton of shit. I chose to stand because of what the flag inherently means to my military family members and me, but I 100% support my peers. Symbolically, I tried to show this with the placement of my hand on Casey's shoulder and bowing my head. Now, Casey is the black soccer player, right? She's in the middle of the picture on both knees. I struggled, but felt that these actions showed my truth, and in the end, I wanted to remain true to myself. If it wasn't clear, let my words and further actions be. I support Black Lives Matter, the Matter movement, wholeheartedly. I also support and will do my part in fighting against the current inequality. As a white athlete, it is way past due for me to be diligently anti-racist. So, she got support from a teammate. Her name is Julie Ertz. She was the one kneeling next to the black player that was crying in the picture. I, Casey, can only speak for myself, but the conversations I have had with players, specifically Rachel, the black player, have been unapologetically authentic. I have to ask where my hope lies. It lies in my faith and those types of conversations that have long been overdue. The types of conversations that are raw and uncomfortable that can lead to real impactful change. So, there you have it. Now, this brings me to a question. This brings me to a question today. And that is this. What have we become as a nation? And this is kind of, I've thought about this since the discussion last night. This Orwellian thing we are. Well-intentioned fools who can't think critically, who don't seek the truth, led by cowards, and run by social media. Is that us? Is that us? And what does that bode for the future of the nation? I mean, I do believe that it bodes for the decline of the nation. So, as I watch all this, is it these are just lessons? Just like everybody learned a lesson about having a savings account in the last 4 months, poo-pooed that shit, right? Our grandparents have been through the Depression. This stuff lasted for 10 years. 10 years. The Depression lasted. And they couldn't even drink. Prohibition was going on, for God's sakes. Yeah, how about that? So, at least for part of it. So everybody learned the lesson about why we have savings accounts. Next question. Rethinking policing. I would encourage you to listen to the discussion. To listen to the discussion that I had with Jack Hoban about a week ago on policing, H-O-B-A-N. And Jack is just, he's an incredibly articulate guy, former Marine, instrumental in the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. And he talks about, you know, the difference between being a warrior, where you close with and destroy, which is what, you know, we do in the United States military, particularly what, you know, the guys you'll hear next hour, every one of them, that was their mission, to locate, close with, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America. That's what warriors do who go fight for their country. And what Jack was instrumental in doing was modifying all of that. So your job is as an ethical guardian of everybody, to include the criminal. And so it's an awesome interview. And in there, Jack says, he uses this really wonderful example when he talks to people about, you know, oh, you know, they roll their eyes. Oh, yeah, you know, kinder, gentler. And Jack says, well, wait a minute. Let me just walk you through something. Okay. And they say, okay. And he says, right, he's luring them in. He says, okay, so you're out walking in the forest or out in the, you know, in the Rockies, right? And the Rockies have various vegetation, you know, but you're in the Rocky Mountains. Okay. And you see a bear. Are you scared? Well, yeah, I'm scared. Okay. Now you see a bear cub. Are you more scared or less scared? Answer, I'm more scared. Why? Because if that's the mother and I get between the mother and the baby, or I get, or I threaten the baby in the mother's head, that bear is going to eat me, like in short order. Yeah. And she's acting as what? A protector, as a guardian. So Jack, it's this wonderful example that he uses. So, and I want to take this back to well-intentioned fools. And I would lump most politicians in there, cowards and fools. So if we're going to reimagine police, and if we're going to cut their budget, what should be the first thing we do? Reimagine that, right? And define that and lay out how it's going to work before we cut the budget. I mean, do you think that would, I mean, is that prudent? Is that the way we should do it? If we're adults, if we're responsible to the oath we swear to support and defend the Constitution? Or do we do bullshit like the mayor of Seattle did, which is, oh, you know, it's okay as long as they're fucking around in your neighborhood. But when they fuck around near me, this shit's over, boys and girls. Let me tell you, and not only did she end the whole CHOP thing this morning, she called for that city council person to be removed because she got near her home. Or maybe that's just a coincidence. I don't think it is. The Iraqis taught me coincidence is bullshit. So you look around the country and you think, is this getting better or worse? Right? Better or worse? New York City's murder rate up. And they just cut $1.5 billion from their police budget. Well, that makes sense to me. And they've done this without any, you know, blue ribbon commission, you know, on the future policing in New York City, how we see it, how we'll fund it, how we'll do it. No. Who can't think critically. And I go back to this issue of, you know, Bountygate. As Will Cosentini said on Monday, you can't get past the third question if you have even a little bit of experience. And then, you know, and I say this in the next hour, but I'll say it here now. You know, the story comes out. Oh, and it's just, and here it is, the President of the United States acting, you know, recklessly again by a media that doesn't pursue the truth. That story was planted by somebody, probably with CIA connections, and it is a disagreement. It is an intelligence disagreement between the CIA and the National Security Agency. That's what it is. The National Security Administration does electronic surveillance. They adamantly disagreed with the CIA assertion. Adamantly. It's described as adamantly. Right? So in terms of critical thinking, and the lack of critical thinking is done with purpose. So we can verify that the CIA came to this conclusion. And we have two sources that report that. Okay, we can verify that. But for me to write the story that says the CIA and then Trump ignored it is a half-truth. A deliberate half-truth designed to do what? And so to me, right? You have a media that's not interested in the truth and writes this shit, and then social media takes it and turns it into an absolute firestorm. And you have people that don't have critical thinking skills because they get their news from Facebook and Twitter. I mean, I'm seriously scary shit. Is that us? Is that us? And if that is us, where does that take us? And again, this issue relative to the national anthem. This country's founded on majority rule and minority rights. Preservation and inclusion of the minority is what makes America America and not some other bullshit third world country. You try to stand up and dissent from any of this. Try to say something like all lives matter. I mean, blasphemy. Can't say it. All lives matter. What? And so if you believe that and you say it out loud, you will be fired from your job. Happened to an NBA broadcaster in Sacramento. He tweeted, all lives matter, right? And resign for being a racist. So I think it's pretty scary in terms of the intellectual content of the nation. Again, media that doesn't seek the truth with an agenda, people getting their news from social media and can't sort news from bullshit, who don't think critically. Scary stuff. So we enter into the 4th of July, which is my favorite holiday. One of my favorite holidays. It's certainly my favorite historical document, right? Nothing says fuck you like the Declaration of Independence. Nothing. And that's why I love it so much. So I will, after we open the show here, I'll read you just a couple paragraphs of it, because it drips with fuck you, right? It drips with fuck you. And I was doing this a few years ago. And you know, I do this show, right? But sometimes I think I'm really funny. And I was doing this thing, and I was kind of talking about when the Declaration was sent to England, right? After it had been signed and dated. Gets sent to England, right? And I was doing this kind of skit that, you know, when King George's staff secretary comes in and says, sir, we have a communication from the colonies, from leaders of this colonial government that's been established. And the king says, oh, really? And he says, yes. And, you know, they take the ribbons off it, you know, and then they unfurl it. And he says, tell me what it says. And so, you know, the guy reads it. And, you know, King George is listening, sitting in his, you know, one of those high back chairs that British monarchs sitting, I guess, with their crowns on and a leg thrown over one side, listening to it, right? Thinking, these colonists again? God, must I endure another part of the world in my empire? Like, going through this? And so, you know, they finish reading it, and he looks and goes, blah, 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 blah. What else is new? So, he says to his staff secretary, anything else? And he says, well, they signed it. And now he sits up in his chair, erect. What? That's not the end of it? They signed it? They put their names on it? He says, yes, sire, they signed it. So the king stands up. He says, I want to see this. So the guy, you know, like, he lays it out on the table. He puts like something, an inkwell in one corner. I don't know, a bag of gold that the sheriff of Nottingham gave him. I don't know, some other, right? So he posts down all four, and so the king walks over and he looks, and he sees John Hancock's signature, and he points to it, and he says, "What is that?" And the staff secretary looks at him and says, "That's Mr. Hancock's signature, sire." And then the king, being, you know, he's a written man, so he says, what font is that in? And the staff sec looks at him and says, oh, sire, I know that font. And the king says, what is it? He said, that would be the fuck you font. Now, I still think that's funny, even this morning. And every time I see John Hancock's signature, it reminds me of that. And that's what that signature is. That is, fuck you. I want you to see this. And that's why I love the Declaration of Independence. It is quintessentially American. So, on July 1st, as we get ready to celebrate the nation's birthday in this different time that we live in this year, before a coronavirus vaccine, and life is certainly different. Good morning to everybody. I want to send a special shout out to Peyton Davis. If you listened to the program, you heard last week that Peyton lost her younger sister to COVID-19. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to Peyton and her family and F-18 man, who's Peyton's uncle. And Peyton now has COVID-19 herself. So exchanged texts with her this morning, and just thoughts and prayers out to just a great person, who's going through some tough stuff. So keep Peyton in your thoughts and prayers today. And United States Marine Corps Band makes this Wednesday, that's actually Thursday, official. Good morning to you. Kind of in honor of this is dedicated to Peyton Davis, get better, girlfriend. Thoughts and prayers and all of our affection and love go out to you and yours. Oops.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
That's about as American as it gets, right? Winning. Yeah, we place a premium on it. The Declaration of Independence is awesome. You should read it once a year. Yeah, it's a great document. Okay, time for us to check the weather here on a Wednesday. Feels like Thursday. Okay, currently, mostly sunny and 80 in Northern Virginia, in the Quantico area, Washington, D.C. area. So it's cooled off a little bit there. Mostly sunny, 82 down the coast of Camp Lejeune, home of the 2nd Marine Division. And 29 Palms, home of Regimental Combat Team 7 and the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Station. Sunny and 83 degrees right now, so not bad. Camp Pendleton, home of the storied 1st Marine Division, described as a national treasure. Especially by the Marines and sailors that served in it. Cloudy and 65 there. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Home of the 1st Marine Brigade, sun coming up, 71, with cloudy skies. Okinawa, home of the 3rd Marine Division, cloudy and 80, as well as dark. In the Helmand Province. In Afghanistan, early evening, clear and 98 degrees. And in Iraq, late in the afternoon, sunny and 104. Here at the All Marine Radio Studios in the Newport Beach, Costa Mesa area, Southern California, cloudy and 64. Get up to 70 degrees today. And for the weekend, starting tomorrow, 70 again, 74 on Friday, 74 Saturday, and 80 on Sunday. So that is a look at your weather this morning. More of this fine program coming up. A little bit of the Declaration of Independence, a little bit of news, and then in the second hour, we're going to talk Bountygate and update that story. We're going to talk Gettysburg, a little bit of military history, and then we're going to talk Orwellian stuff. And the cherry on top at the end is, for whatever reason, we start talking about our moms. And we talk about our mothers a little bit, which is really funny. Jeff Kenney tells a hilarious story about his mom, as you might imagine. So don't touch a dial. An interesting and fun day here on this radio station. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
To the Declaration of Independence we go. Yeah, this is not B.B. King. it is quintessentially American music. That is the truth. So maybe it is the appropriate music for reading the Declaration of Independence. But I have this thing this music that's today in history. Here it is. Ready? Stand by. It means something big is going to happen on the show. If I could give you like a feeling that I believe that the that the Declaration of Independence is meant to exude, it is this.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah, that's what the Declaration of Independence connotes to me. All right, so let me just read you a little bit of it, right? Music to your ears. This is our founding document. Okay, this is the full text. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. It's interesting to read this, right? Because just the way it's written, the 13 United States, right? And United is underscored, right? States is capitalized, you know, the word, not it's not in all caps. So united is de-emphasized. So it's united is what? An adverb, adjective? I never really understood the difference between those, but because I hated English. I only learned it because I had to write. But so united is used as, and which is a precursor for the Civil War. So when you read that, the Civil War will resolve the question, are we one nation? Or are we united States of America, with states having the primacy in that equation. So even the first sentence, you know, forebodes or gives you an insight into further American history, things that will come down the road. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the laws of God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. End of paragraph. Second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient reasons. And accordingly, that kind of echoes into today, doesn't it? And accordingly, all experience hath shown, H-A-T-F, don't you know, has shewn, S-H-E-W-N, that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states, To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And then there is a list of grievances. And they are dripping with hate. All right? Dripping with hate. And then the last three paragraphs. It's actually about two and a half. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend unwarranted jurisdictions over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, I forgot a syllable, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war and friends in peace. And the final paragraph. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And then 56 people signed it, to include John Hancock in the fuck you font. The it's an awesome document, right? And it is the baby steps of this experiment in democracy. And we celebrate that. We celebrate this imperfect experiment in democracy. And I would accentuate, especially this year, right? I would emphasize the imperfect as we rip down statues of people that don't meet our standard for cleanliness. You know, at the end of the day, will there be a statue left? What will become of our imperfect history? What will become of this? What will become of our American story as we attempt to bleach it and sandblast it? And then what's next? Denial? You know, like the Chinese do with Tiananmen Square. Yeah, we don't like that. We're going to airbrush that son of a bitch right out of there. So, questions. All right. To the news we go. Trump threatens to veto, Stars and Stripes, top of the fold headline. Trump threatens to veto defense bill over amendment to rename military bases that honor Confederates. Here's my question. Who is advising the president, or did he just get out over his skis with his initial tweet and now, you know, he's stuck with it? He can't get himself out of it. I mean, why do you want to, as Will Constantini said, is this a hill I want to die on? Right? Are people that vote for Trump going to vote for Biden because of this issue? Anyway, And the same thing over, you know, in the news this morning, Department of Homeland Security is talking about, you know, they will, you know, that the president signed an executive order defending, you know, essentially our nation's history, our monumental history, literally. They will defend those. Now, know this, that one of the problems that activists face is when you don't have videotape that you are constantly putting in front of people, people begin to go on about their lives. And then what they expect is their elected officials will handle this stuff. Uh-oh, you mean we're not going to have the screaming and yelling and the bloviating, right, and weak politicians giving us what we want? We're going to go back to business as usual. We have to testify, and where both sides get heard. We don't want that. So my fear is over the weekend, you're going to see more attempts to provoke. You're going to see more assaults, really, on law enforcement officials. And again, with everybody videotaping, hoping to get another moment so we could say, ah, here we go again. Here we go again. So anyway, good luck to the Department of Homeland Security over this holiday weekend. Air Force pilot crashed at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina and was killed in an F-16. So our thoughts and prayers out to his family. Or her family, whoever it was. Cutting troops in Germany has become a big deal. Taking 10,000 troops out of Germany is a big deal. And risks, you know, all kinds of things. My response to that is the greatest risk in Europe is Germany's lack of a military. So there was I think the Senate introduced a measure yesterday, and it's a rider or an amendment to the 2021 National Defense Authorization Act, if my memory serves me correctly. I don't see how that passes and gets attached by the whole Senate. So I think it's much ado about its political grandstanding, as it will, but And so I would say to those politicians, and it was a bipartisan group led by Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio, both conservative guys. And to them, I would say this. When are you going to get after Germany and say, look, we're fighting this, but you make it really, really difficult for us to go to bat for you when you don't have a fucking military, man? Y'all be understand. But we don't want to spend the money. Do you want to come to Oktoberfest? No, fuck no, I don't want to come to Oktoberfest. I've already been. You're right. I mean, come on. Come on. Germany is the enabler of Russia. All right. So one. Next story. Hundreds of Alaska-based paratroopers drop on Guam in a show of readiness. We love this. As Americans, right? We love this shit. About 350 soldiers. What is that? Half of an airborne battalion? Two companies? About two companies parachuted into Anderson Air Force Base in Guam to complete a training mission that began with a marathon flight from Alaska. Five C-17 Globemasters flew the paratroopers from Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson in Alaska to Guam, where they secured the airbase as part of an emergency deployment readiness exercise. Yeah, the Army flexing its muscles in the Pacific. Marine Corps doesn't like shit like that. Now, this is news on the Space Force. Everybody loves the Space Force, right? Deltas are in as Space Force develops its command structure. Deltas. A delta? What is a delta? And what are they in? Well, listen to this. It's kind of interesting. The new Space Force has streamlined its structure by going without wings. So, you know, the structure for the Air Force was wing, I think group, squadron. Okay, so a wing is like a division in the infantry. A group is like a regiment. Squadron like battalion. Okay? See how I break that shit down? That's why you listen to all Marine radio. Anyway, instead of intermediate echelons above squadrons in the country's newest military branch, they will be known as deltas, and they will be led by whatever the service decides to call its equivalent of a colonel. Deltas will fall under field commands like Space Operations Command, which the acronym is, hold on, wait for it, come on, don't go too fast, don't, let it breathe, Space Force Operational Command, right, stand by, SPOC. I'm not making it up. It's going to be known as a SPOC. Space Force Operational Command, SPOC. Can't make it up, man. That's too rich. An abbreviation that may keep it from being confused with other services, Special Operations Command, if not the Vulcan from Star Trek. The field commands report to a service headquarters. The use of three echelons instead of five used by its parent service. So again, squadron, right? And then delta, and then, right, the command. That's three, right? As opposed to squadron, group, wing, and then higher command. So, three instead of five. Streamline. The use of three echelons instead of five levels used by its parent service, the Air Force, reflects a focus on being lean, agile, and mission-focused. Yeah. Innovation and efficiency are driving our mission as we position the Space Force to respond with agility to protect our nation's space capabilities and the American way of life, Air Force Secretary Barbara Barrett said in a statement. Now, know this. Space Force and Air Force coexist under the Department of the Air Force, much like the Department of the Navy and the Department of the Marine Corps exist under the Department of the Navy, with the Marine Corps, right? This is sexist. This is an old joke. Being the men's department. There's another rim shot, but I didn't get to it. Anyway. Now, I know it's sexist, Mac. You're so passe. It's an old joke. It was funny at the time. News out of the Space Force, which Alex Hollings, I'm sure, is losing his mind about today. From the Wall Street Journal, as thousands protest, Hong Kong police quickly enforce Beijing security law. Authorities move to stifle dissent as the city sees biggest demonstration in months. So, Beijing, right, now ascendant, Hong Kong is no more. Thousands of people, and I'll tell you what, you know who's taking some shit for this, and their relationship with China? The National Basketball Association, and well, they should. Those hypocritical assholes, right? You're seeing people go to jail, right, in Hong Kong, getting the shit beat out of them. NBA will not say a word. Their athletes won't say anything because they're getting too much money out of China. They behave exactly as other corporations do. They don't say shit. Yeah. In spite of a totalitarian communist that has millions of people imprisoned and being reeducated for being Muslim. That doesn't matter. Don't fuck with my wallet. Here's a story. Thousands of people took to Hong Kong streets to stage the biggest protest in months, and police moved swiftly to enforce Beijing's mandate to quash dissent with more than 300 arrests, including nine under a new national security law. With an extensive show of force on Wednesday, officers in riot gear confronted demonstrators who gathered around lunchtime in a busy shopping district and later spread to other areas. Police fired pepper spray and water cannons and hoisted purple banners warning protesters that they could be in violation of the new law. You know, the sad part about all this is you're going to have protesters and they're going to go away for a long, long, long time. And so China has destroyed Hong Kong. Another headline in the Wall Street Journal. As U.S. coronavirus cases climb, states chart their own course. As well they should. The art of all of this is learning how to live with it, because it's not going away because we don't have a vaccine. Okay? So that means social distance. It means wear your mask when appropriate, because this thing's no joke. And again, I know Will Cosentini and I were talking. He said, you know, there's counties that don't have cases and whatnot. I know. But there's other people that are dead. And, you know, it's impacted my circle of friends. So confirmed infections in the U.S. exceed 2.6 million, while the death toll is above 127,000. So I would say success in this is a declining death rate, no matter what happens to the uptick. So as long as the death rate continues to drop, right, it is a part of this is going to be a function of you can't stay at home. We can't do that. And exposing the healthy part of the population to it and protecting the vulnerable part of the population. I would say that would define success. That would be it. I just find, I hear Dr. Fauci now, and I just like, I think that guy, you know, this is not a Nintendo joystick. At the other end of that joystick are real people, the vast majority of which this thing will not impact. And you're fucking with their lives, they're a crazy one. And so, I mean, I see him as, you know, these, as and I've dealt with public health people in my capacity. I was on the board of public health. Yeah. And I always relate a story. They wanted to ban smoking in restaurants and bars. Well, if I'm not doing anything in a nation that says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and I want to have smoking in my bar, who are you to tell me I can't do that? Oh, well, we're protecting your workers. Well, if they don't like it, they don't have to work there. Oh, you don't have that right. I don't? Says who? Show me where it says I don't have that right. So we're having this discussion, and I make that point. And I say, here's what I'll be willing to do, though. Let's ban the sale of cigarettes. We all know it kills people. Let's ban the sale of cigarettes in the city. That'll be our statement. You can't buy them. We don't allow that. You're a free person, though. You want to go buy them someplace else? You can do that. But we as a community, we think this is extremely unhealthy. Science backs us up, and we're going to say we as a city don't want to profit from the tax revenue associated with cigarettes anymore. Go buy them someplace else. Look around the table. Well, we don't want to do that. Why not? So, I mean, I've dealt with public health people before. Not my favorite group. Not my favorite group. Another interesting story in the Wall Street Journal. Months into the coronavirus pandemic, ICU doctors are split on the best treatment. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but I'll read you a couple paragraphs. Several months into the coronavirus pandemic, hospital physicians are split. In the intensive care unit, doctors are trying to balance their own knowledge and past experiences, trying to treat respiratory illness with their current experiences treating the novel coronavirus. And newly emerging data on the COVID-19 therapies. The result is there is little consensus amongst physicians about treatment, even as cases and hospitalizations surge in parts of the U.S. It also means the particular treatment a patient gets can vary widely from hospital to hospital and even from doctor to doctor. So that's a little teaser to the article. And again, if you want to get somebody a good gift, the Wall Street Journal is journalism as it used to be, in my opinion. And that means they tended to report facts. Top headline in Just the News. EU ban on travel from U.S. relies on misleading coronavirus data and punishes testing gain. So that's that. Top stories in USNI News today. Seattle being cleared out, as we talked about. NATO needs to take on the Russian offensive. And, I'm sorry, offensive, defensive advances in the Arctic, seriously. NATO. NATO's in the news a little bit today. Also, officials, U.S. must move faster in testing and fielding hypersonic 5G networks. Got it. Another NATO headline. NATO's anti-submarine exercise, Dynamic Mongoose, kicks off with U.S. destroyer and nuclear submarine. Yeah. All right. Top stories in Marine Corps News. We'll do the top five, and then you'll hear Lynch, Kenny, and Cosentini. So Marine Corps headlines, not so much. Brigadier General Jim Glynn took over Marine Corps Raiders, Marine Corps Special Operations Command. So that in the news. And here's a headline. Russian bounties on American troops further strain Trump's bond with veterans. Now, again, this is something that didn't even get to the president because the intel community couldn't even agree on if the reports were valid. And then the Pentagon couldn't say if this actually happened. But this headline, right, says that that's true. Russian bounties. That's a fact. Here's another one. Trump should have acted on reports of Russian bounties on U.S. troops, lawmakers say. So, but again, the political part of this will be independent from the truth relative to the story. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. The top five stories in Early Bird. If you ever want to do some interesting reading, you know, the whole lone survivor thing. Right, in Afghanistan. Read about the operation. It was a disaster looking for an opportunity to happen. And you don't have to look that far. Just read a little bit about the operation that they were a part of. And it's disheartening. The whole lone survivor story is disheartening. You know, and again, I'm friends with the monster, the son of my bed. Get along. This used to be the theme song of All Marine Radio. The voices inside of my head, you're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Marshall Mathers, known as Eminem. Same initials as me, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mantle. Well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention. M squared. My music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I flew see. But it was confusing. Cause all I wanted to do is be the Bruce Lee of Loose Leaf. The Bruce Lee of Loose Leaf, in case you didn't get that. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning a used me. Ironic cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep. Going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think. Cause I'm friends with the monster. Crazy. The first time I heard that song, I'm friends with the monster, the refrain, right? I'm friends with the monsters that are under my bed, get along with the voices inside of my head. I started laughing. I'm like, whoever wrote that song, man, right? Deals with demons. Top five stories in Early Bird. So it was the original theme of All Marine Radio. Yeah. And then as All Marine Radio happened and it became this place that we come to talk about, you know, not only Marine, but veteran issues and current events and things like that. But it certainly has a distinct flavor of our tribe. And the song changed to what it is today, and that is, I can't play it. I can't play it. Yeah, our house. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Pentagon leaders to testify next week on the military's George Floyd protest response role. And well, they should. In my opinion, the guy who's the Secretary of the Army did not acquit himself very well. What's his name? McCarthy? I think something like that. Yeah. So I'd be curious to see what comes out of that. What the fuck were they doing? Number two, Congress moves to block Trump's Germany's troop withdrawal plans. Okay. You know what? Political grandstanding. Yes, I know. But at no point does somebody ask the question, the president's motive for this is Germany's complete, right? Germany's complete backturning event on their responsibility relative to defending their own country. Why is the American taxpayer more interested in defending Germany than Germans are? And would somebody like Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, take that to Germany and say, we need you to grow up and act like an adult. We're all over World War II. Japan is. How about this? Be like Japan. Japan's not great, but they don't suck like you do. Now, this is to me the shit that people traffic in, right? The next headline. We've talked about Bountygate, right? So the intel community does not agree, right? And then somebody in the intel community leaked the report, classified report, to the New York Times, who published it in an effort to diminish the president, who this issue was never brought to, again, because the CIA, the NSA, and the Pentagon aren't on the same sheet of music and don't agree on it, with the NSA adamantly disagreeing. They're the ones that listen to people talk, okay? They listen, okay? And then they send you this. And I'll give you an example. We have Marines moving in the Helmand province. And, you know, whoever this poor son of a bitch was, I still feel bad for. But Napa man, right, was in there when this was going on. I think F-18 man was in there too. So we have a patrol that's moving in the southern part of our battle space along the Helmand River. And they're coming up to this area of compounds in front of them by several hundred meters. And our spooky guys hear somebody talking as they're scanning with interpreters with headsets on who say, wait, and now they begin to transpose and things like this. And this guy's name is Ahmed. And Ahmed's reporting on the movement. He said, I can see them. They're coming, right? Which now we're feeding this to the company, to the battalion and the company, who are feeding it to the patrol and saying, hey, somebody's, you know, waiting for you. And any patrol that's moving, they're telling this to, okay? Whoever's moving, getting this, right, electronic warfare. And so Ahmed says, there's many of them. They look bigger. they look bigger in real life. And then the guy on the other end saying, Ahmed, do your duty. All right, be strong. Do your duty, Ahmed. And Ahmed saying, I will do my duty. Well, we then kind of see Ahmed, right? Guy with the handset in his hand, weapon. And so we cut loose an F-18 on them, or a Hellfire, one of the two, I can't remember which. So they drop ordnance, and the next transmission you hear from Ahmed is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the guy at the other end, right, like, so his ass is some, you know, miles away, safe, is saying, Ahmed, do your duty, what is happening? And Ahmed's saying, oh my God, the ground shook, right? The ground shook, I am running, I am running. And the other guy's saying, Ahmed, do your job. Okay, so that's what the NSA listens to. They listen to those conversations. And they're saying, no, not just, we don't think so. They're saying, no, we don't agree. So anyway, that disagreement, to include the Pentagon, has now morphed into the president was derelict in his duty. His opponent said that yesterday, all based on a story that doesn't have a conclusion inside the Pentagon and inside the defense apparatus. So here's the headline. Mother of Marine killed in Afghanistan demands answers amid Russian bounty allegations. So the story's about that. Number three, proposal would make extremist activity a military crime, create DOD oversight for racial issues. That will happen. Number five, military aviation mishaps and deaths are declining for the first time in years. We talked about that yesterday, still in the news today because it's a pretty big issue. Overseas operations, wow, there's a bunch of them. Anything significant? Despite pandemic, Air Force continues long-range bomber task force missions in Europe. Russian squeeze U.S. troops in Syria amid uproar over Trump's dealings with Moscow. Next headline. Intelligence reports on Russia bounty operations first reached the White House in 2019. Now, not the president, but the White House, the building. Okay. So that's from the Washington Post. Another story, use of military contractors shrouds the true cost of war. Washington wants it that way, according to a study. And that's accurate. Sailors and Marines can now go to bars and restaurants in Guam. Airmen are restricted, though, as well they should be. Restaurants and bars should only be open to Marines and sailors. Another U.S. service member tests positive for coronavirus. How is that a story, for crying out loud? Another service member tested positive for COVID. Okay, to date, how many U.S. active duty service members have died because of COVID-19? One. How many reservists? Two. All right, there you have it. Another headline. CENTCOM battling a series of coronavirus cases that developed at the Kuwaiti airbase. So what is the rule of news now? If it doesn't say coronavirus, it's not a headline. It's not a story. Southcom commander says Trump ships are saving. Again, Trump. Trump ships? Trump ships are saving American lives. So this is relative to the American counter-narcotic mission that the Navy's supporting with. I mean, I follow this as the headlines appear, and they've made some pretty incredible finds. Sustained disruption of drug traffickers in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific has already saved 600 American lives, the head of U.S. Southern Command, Admiral Craig Fowler, told the Washington Examiner in an exclusive interview in which he described the progress made since President Trump announced an enhanced counter-narcotics offensive. Quote, it's time to get after putting relentless pressure on the enemy, Fowler said in a Zoom interview with the Washington Examiner from his office at Southern Command headquarters in Miami. I look at it as a vicious circle of threats, he said. It's a recognition that the threat has persisted and has grown over time and that we need to apply a higher level of resources to that threat. So, what's going on? The White House announcement that a surge of resources into the area, used most by drug traffickers, led to additional Navy destroyers, littoral combat ships, Coast Guard cutters, helicopters, Air Force AWACS aircraft, and JSTARS aircraft operating out of Curacao and an Army Security Force Assistance Brigade in Colombia. As of June 26, the United States has worked with 22 nations in the Caribbean and Central and South America to seize 60 metric tons of cocaine, 13,500 pounds of marijuana, and help to detain 187 drug suspects. Southcom estimates that $1.5 billion in profits were denied to criminal organizations because of that. So, yeah, that's a pretty amazing story. But you know what? The amount of drugs that comes in is staggering. You know, when I think years ago, Time did a series of stories on the drug trade, and they said that, you know, that the drug cartels, they don't count money, they weigh it. Like, what? Yeah, they don't have time to count it. So they bundle it and they weigh it. Like, holy shit. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Will Cosentini. We'll talk to Tim Lynch, and we'll talk to Jeff Kenney. So don't touch that dial. Hour two of All Marine Radio starts after hour one and a half just ended. So more of this fine program coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.